Well, let's jump right into the book of James. Really, this series was born out of misery. I titled today's message, Tackling Trials. The series, though, is called Words to Live By. You know, I was going to take 6 weeks off. I've never taken that much time off in my life. And as you know, the last year has been a lot of fun, so not really. And so I figured I'll take time off. I literally spent most of it incapacitated. And then wondering, like, why am I having to go through this? And God just really spoke to me through sickness and through difficulty and through trial and mostly through the unexpected and the unwanted. And as we look at the book of James, it is so full of practical application of how we who serve a good God, how we live in a broken world, and what we should do when that brokenness invades our peace and our place. How do you handle that? How do we deal with it? And what are words that we can live by? And what God really spoke to me is the power of the words that we speak. You know, Luke 6:45, we also see it in Matthew. Jesus says, from an overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so I can know what's going on in my heart by the words that I'm speaking. Like, it's a great indicator of where I am spiritually, where I am emotionally, where I am as I walk through this journey called life. And when you're sick, it's like everything gets amplified. The emotions get amplified. The feelings become so intense. Small things can seem big. Big things can seem utterly overwhelming. Like, how do we deal with that? Well, guess what? James is a great book to deal with all of that. And here's the cool perspective. It's like James is the brother of Jesus. And he grew up with Jesus. What a great testimony when James says he really is the Messiah. And he shows us, James does, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, how to tackle trials, how to deal with difficulties and really go through the unexpected and the unwanted. So let's dive right in. I love the book of James. When people ask me, hey man, I'm really just coming back to God, or they just gave their life to him, they're like, what book should I read? I know a lot of Christians be like, read the book of John. And it's a good book. It's great. It's awesome. But the book of James is so practical. And I think for us in the season that we've walked through and preparing for the season that God is calling us to rebuild the ancient ruins. This is the scripture that God gave my wife and I in planning the church. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You'll raise up the age-old foundation. You'll be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. Guess what? We have that opportunity. And so the future, if we look around with what we've walked through in the past, the recent past, or we even look at the brokenness, both physically, broken trees, broken homes, broken businesses, broken dreams, broken people. If we focus on that, we'll miss what God is calling us to. And I think the book of James gives us some key phrases. I want to give you three of them and end with kind of one really big one that are words that we can live by. So let's jump in. It says, this letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. And then he says this. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Say what? When troubles of any kind. So what trouble have you experienced? What trouble has come your way? Maybe you lost your home. Maybe you're dealing with a financial situation or a relational situation. Or maybe you've lost somebody that you love. Or maybe you yourself are in a place that you never expected. How do you handle that unexpected and unwanted thing that walks into your life? Because James says right out of the gate, he's like, hey, I'm writing to you guys. And he says, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity. Here's the first thing that I want you to get. It's the words that we can live by. Here it is. Number one, embrace opportunity. Embrace opportunity. We have an opportunity, regardless of whether we're walking through the best season of our life or we're walking through the worst. When it's the best season, everybody's like, this is fantastic. What an opportunity to enjoy life and thank God and love people, because everything's good. It's when things are bad, when you find yourself in the place of trouble, that the opportunity presents itself most prominently, and yet somehow it's the hardest to see. We have an opportunity, regardless of the difficulty that we walk through, we should embrace the opportunity. For what opportunity is it? Like, it's terrible. What's the opportunity? We have an opportunity for joy. That means that joy isn't happiness. I want you to understand that. Happiness is circumstantial. It's contingent on what's going on around you to impact what's going on inside of you. It's a very low emotional level for a stable follower of Jesus. Like, I want to be happy. I want you to be happy. But I know this, if your happiness is, and happiness is contingent on what you're walking through, the externals then affecting the internals, you've got it backwards. That's of the world. But when we have recognized that difficulty, trial, and trouble is an opportunity for joy, it simply means it's the reverse of that. Like, internally, I know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called to His purpose. I know that God loves me, that He has a purpose and a plan for me. If I've got this internal foundation that the Word of God is true and that He speaks blessings over me as I follow Him, if I get that down, see, that trouble is now an opportunity for me to go inside and stand on the foundation that I know who God is and I know who I am because of Him. Therefore, the externals, why they may be really miserable, they're not going to affect my outlook because I know that in the end, God wins and so do I. They may be the death of me, but I can still face that with joy. With joy. The fruit of God's Spirit in my life is love. Let me just say, you can't give love properly until you're able to receive it, which is why it's so important that we are able to receive the truth of who God is as He speaks about who we are. Love, the second fruit of the Spirit. We see if God's really in our life, we have a deep-seated joy that regardless of the trouble that we walk through, we can internally reflect on who God has called us to be, created us to be, who He says we are because of who He is. And we have joy. So this is here's the first word to live by if you're walking through trouble. Embrace the opportunity for joy. That's what it says. Verse 2. Then verse 3. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. We have an opportunity to embrace joy. We have an opportunity to embrace faith. Troubles, difficulty, trials give us the opportunity to grow in faith, to believe God more than the obstacle that is in our path or the oppression that we're experiencing because of where we are or who we are around. And that's so key, like where we are or who we are around. There can be an oppressiveness from the pit of hell. But when we embrace the opportunity to believe God and we focus more on what He says in His Word, which is why I'm always going, you got to know this and you got to know Him and I want you to hear from Him. Because when you do, that's going to speak more loudly than the difficulty, trial, and trouble around you. But we have to embrace joy. We have to embrace faith. We have an opportunity for joy, an opportunity for great faith to believe God and believe His Word over our circumstances. We have a great opportunity for strength because when your foundation is on Him, when you choose to look at His Word and what He says about the truth that He is God, the truth that Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called to His purpose. Wow, I believe that. Your faith is growing. And when your faith grows, it says that it gives you endurance. Your endurance has a chance to grow. That means you get stronger. Difficulties will make you stronger if you let them, or they'll just break you down, and you'll have a breakdown. Lots of people have breakdowns, but what we can know is that those things that really are designed by the enemy in a broken world to break us down, they will. They can. unless we choose to see it as an opportunity for joy, see it as an opportunity for faith, to see it as an opportunity for strength. It's so cool. And then here's the second thing in verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. Here's the second thing. And here, first of all, here's what wisdom is. Wisdom is knowing the right thing to do in any given circumstance. That's wisdom, knowing the right thing to do. Here's words to live by. Embrace the opportunity that's in front of you, especially if it's a bad season. The second one is ask our generous God for wisdom. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God. He'll give it to you. Ask for wisdom. That's the second words to live by. Ask for wisdom. God, this is miserable. I don't know what to do. Please show me what to do. Give me wisdom, because wisdom is knowing what to do. I'm going to read on. This is what he says. He will not rebuke you for asking. What's that mean? That means he's not going to fuss at you for overpraying. God, you got to help me. I don't know what to do. Pray it 1,000 times if you have to. Pray for the small things. Pray for the big things. Just pray and ask God. He says he will give you wisdom if you ask him. He'll not rebuke you. But when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. In other words, he's your source. Don't waver, for a person who's with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. In other words, when you ask God, it can't be like, I'm throwing out a lifesaver to, you know, God, throw me a lifesaver. Like, you got to know he's going to rescue. You've got to know that, like, oh, maybe he'll throw the lifesaver close enough to me that I'll be able to grab it. But maybe not. Maybe I'll drown in this. You have to have faith. Ask, but believe. When we ask something of God and then we walk away, it's like going up to somebody and asking them an important and deep question, and they don't answer you immediately because they're pondering it, and you just walk away and it's like, well, that didn't work. Patience is a virtue, and persistence is as well. Keep asking. Jesus tells the story of how the persistent that keep knocking on the door, it'll be opened to them. Ask for wisdom. Embrace the opportunity in the difficult season, but ask for wisdom and don't waver. God's going to give you the answer. He's going to show you the right thing to do. It may not come how you expect. It may not come from where you expect it to come from or who you expect it to come from, but it will come. So that's number two, don't waver. And then in verse 9, it says, believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They'll fade away like the little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. Why is that in there? That is weird. Ask for wisdom. This whole passage is, but listen, if you're poor, this is what it says. It says, God's honored you. If you're rich, watch out. All of this is about source. Where is your source of strength? Where is your source that's going to deliver you from this difficulty coming from? You cannot buy your way out of pain and problems. Listen to me. It doesn't matter if you were a billionaire. You cannot buy your way out of pain and problems. You can buy comfort and you can buy convenience, but you cannot buy peace. That comes from God. And if you're poor, it's a whole lot easier to realize, I need some peace and I ain't got nothing to give it to me. Lord, I'm going to turn to you. The temptation of wealth is that your source of peace and satisfaction comes from your ability to purchase whatever it is you may need. That's not wisdom. That's foolishness. We need to look at the trouble that we encounter. And by the way, trouble comes to everybody, regardless of socioeconomic or demographic standing. It comes to everyone. Embrace that opportunity for joy, for strength, for faith. Embrace it. Ask God for wisdom. And here's the last thing. I'm going to give it to you. You ready? God blesses. Here it is, verse 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. So here's number three. Walk towards blessing. Walk towards blessing. Here's the reality. Testing and temptation are going to come to everyone, regardless of who they are. But God blesses those who patiently endure. What does that mean? That means that they are willing to walk through the testing and the temptation and not to turn tail and run. If you walk towards the blessing, that means that you have to take the test and the temptation head on and you walk through it. You don't give into it. You don't let it push you the other direction. Everybody wants to be blessed by God, but you have to walk towards the blessing. That means that you can't hate the temptation. You can't hate the trial. You have to walk through it. It's going to hit you square on. And the enemy's tactic is to get you just a little sideways and then push you walking this way and then ultimately get you to a 180. If you want to be blessed by God, you have to embrace the opportunity. You need to ask for wisdom, but you've got to be purposed to walk towards blessing. The only way to do that is to keep on walking through the temptation, to keep on walking through the testing. I hate it. I'm sorry. I know we live in a messed up world, but if you trust God through the temptation and the test, the other side of it will come. Most people give up just before the victory. It's like football, and whether you're a football fan or not, I don't know, I am. But that red zone defense of the enemy, that means it's like first and five, or first and inches before a touchdown, before you're scoring. It's first and inches. That's where the defense is the strongest. And that's where we have to be willing to walk towards the blessing and say, I am crossing that line. The enemy cannot keep me from victory because I know what God has for me. Oh. So James says all of this, when we're walking through trouble, embrace the opportunity for joy, for faith, for strength. Ask God for wisdom. Walk towards blessing. You have to walk through it. I'm sorry, you got to walk through it. But then he ends this whole portion of his letter to believers, and he says this in verse 16. He says, so don't be misled. And man, when I read that just stuck out to me. Don't be misled. Why is he writing that? Because he doesn't want people to think that the trouble that they're going through is what God has purposed for them for eternity. Look at what he says. He says, so don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we out of all creation became his prized possession. What's he saying? He's saying, don't be misled. God is good. It is very easy when difficulty, when the unexpected happens, when trials, when trouble comes, we look at it as an opportunity for giving into that depression or misery or opportunity to complain. We go, I don't know what to do, so I'm just not going to do anything. We don't walk towards blessing. We don't seek God for wisdom. And in the end, if that's our MO, we're going to be misled and we're going to believe that the trouble was God's fault. God created perfection. Sin destroyed it. And God in his loving kindness made a way for that curse of sin to be broken in our lives. We'll still on this earth encounter the sinful, broken world, but the curse of separation from God and his purpose and plan, that doesn't have to exist for us. It doesn't. Yes, we have to embrace the opportunity, seek him for wisdom, walk through the blessing, but we have to know that God is good. Here's how we know. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him, they won't perish. They won't be separated from him ever on the other side of eternity or in this life. You can have the presence of God in your life. God loves you. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's not just about life on the other side of death of this physical body. I know this. My body's wearing out. It's going to wear out one day. And it's going to die, but I never will. Because I know where my peace, I know where my source of life, I know where my hope comes from. And it's Jesus. This is what James is writing. Embrace the opportunity. Seek God for wisdom. Keep walking, but know this. God's good. And maybe you know in your head that God's good, but today God's dealing with your heart because it hasn't it's this far away from like transformation to know and to experience. I want you to experience the goodness of God. How do you do that? Surrender to Him. Turn from your sinful ways. Receive the forgiveness that He has for you. Because Jesus broke that curse of sin. And if you're here and you're watching it and you feel that tugging at your own heart, all of us have a longing to be what God's created us to be. All of us, it is innate in humans, we worship. There's a longing for us to worship. There's a void that God, that's a God-shaped void. You need Jesus. Maybe that's you. I'd like to pray with you. Say, I need that. Here's how you do it. Just pray with me. Say, dear Jesus, I turn to you. I turn from my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I want you to sit on the throne of my heart and my life. I surrender to you. My life's yours, and I trust you. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let us know. I want to connect you with resources that are going to help you grow spiritually. I want to connect you with relationships that are going to encourage you as you seek God and you grow in His Word. You grow in spiritual maturity and wisdom, and that you are able to look at every situation and know that God is for you and that you will keep walking towards blessing through it. Great having you today. So look forward to next week. It's going to be awesome, and hope you get connected. God bless.